All right, who's next? Okay, right up here in the front. You all have been wonderfully patient tonight and put up with a whole lot more than you really should have. So we're going to let you talk as long as you want. Go ahead.
Well, hopefully that won't be long. Chairman Wheatley and fellow commissioners, I'm Ronald Smith. I live on Gill's Neck Road, and I have for 39 years. And I'm just going to make a few comments to presentations that were made by the developer. One, except for a major sporting goods store, every type of shopping opportunity is already available within 3 miles of this site. So there's no undue travel for local residents. Shortness of commute to shopping access will be overridden by idling traffic at overcrowded intersections. Subaqueous water drawdown by agriculture will probably be no different than the water required by the businesses in the built-out CR1 area on a yearly basis. We do not need more tourism east of Route 1. Locals already can't use Cape Henlopen State Park beach area because of the filled parking areas in the summer. The beauty of the Junction Breakwater Trail is the natural or the marsh and wooded portion, not the part through the developed area. The largest buildings in the back of this proposed project are closest to the residential area. King's Highway has the enhanced look, while Gill's Neck gets the large business look, which is totally out of character. I feel we certainly do not need 2 traffic lights on Gill's Neck Road, which to date has pretty much been a country-type road, and as you heard, it's designated as a scenic byway. And land requested for rezoning will not become an orphan farm if rezoning is denied. It will likely become another residential area like the rest of Townsend property on Gill's Neck Road. As you're aware, I am not in favor of this rezoning project. And if I might, Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is the commission likely to reach a decision before the county council meets on September 29th.
Well, you're asking me to speculate, sir, and I'm really not into speculation.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I'm not going to hold you to what you say.
It could happen.
Good.
Or not.
I'll make one guess, though. Tonight, it's likely to be deferred.
I will tell you what. I can tell you this. Won't be one made tonight because way too much information's been introduced by you and many others. That we need some time to digest everything.
Well, I understand that. I don't expect it to be made.
And that'll take more than a day or two, so it could go longer than their meeting. So, you know, very well could be that we won't make a decision before that hearing. So,
okay,
we'll do the best we can.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Who's next? Okay, let's take one from this side. This lady with her left hand in the air, in the black top. Yeah. All right. It's a twofer, okay? All righty. Well, you each have to give us your names.
I'm Eve Aldred, and I'm a resident of Lewis.
Okay.
I'm Edie Page, and I'm a resident of Lewis.
Okay.
And I thank you all for the time and the energy and the patience that you give to trying to make Sussex County more workable and more livable. I thought it was important that we wait to speak tonight because I think you need to hear the perspective of parents who have children who attend Cape Henlopen High School. We both do,
yes. Tonight.
And I feel that this process of changing this property to commercial will just be a distraction and a temptation to the students of the high school. I think there's already enough obstacles to helping a child get educated already in the world that we don't need to add to it. There will be students even throughout the day probably, but especially at dismissal time, after school activities, that will want to cross the road to hang out or to visit the shopping center that's so attractive across the street. They will not. You can't assume that they will wait for a crosswalk or go to a crosswalk or push the button.
They will not.
You can't assume that they are going to do that. Many students, I'm sure,
teenagers don't want to do anything. They will cross wherever they're at.
So shortest distance, you know, whatever they think they can get away with, they will do it. And the other thing is you have young drivers, about 200 young drivers exit and enter that parking lot every day. And King's Highway is already a challenge, and this would only magnify it. So we urge you to be opposed to this change in zoning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, on this side, right up here in the front, with the yellow top with a notebook, a sweater.
My name's Betsy Farlow, and I live right across the street from the proposed site. I'm an ordinary person. I don't represent anybody. I'm not an expert. However, I don't consider myself naive either. I wanted to just briefly mention that I'm a local historian also, and I think that Jules Jackson, whose letter you have, possibly has access to information that even a professional archaeologist might not have access to, given the fact that she's an Nanticoke Indian and has received information from her ancestors. So I want you to urge you to consider that. But the major thing that I'm concerned about is safety. I'm a former nurse. Maslow's hierarchy: safety is most important even before food and water. If you're not safe, nothing else matters. I live right across the street. As was mentioned, it used to not be part of Lewis. Now it is. When it wasn't part of Lewis, it didn't have to have sidewalks. So when my 83-year-old neighbor goes for a walk, sometimes she can walk on the sidewalk and sometimes not. My concern is that is one of the few streets that goes between Savannah Road and King's Highway. And once there's more traffic and just more going on King's Highway, there will be more people trying to go back and forth on my little road where there's no sidewalks. So safety is a concern for me personally. Also, full disclosure, I have several children who live and work here and are in the healthcare field. And I used to think that I would worry about my son encountering strange microorganisms. And now the major thing that really threatens him in his work are traffic accidents. So the roundabout, which is proposed, I think is a very bad idea. A roundabout slows down traffic. An ambulance has to go fast. Seconds count. Chest pain, stroke, arterial bleeding, seconds count. I've been in the roundabout in Rehoboth and tried to pull over. I'm more aware of the lights behind me maybe than some other people are. I couldn't pull over. There was nowhere to go. There was no shoulder. The man next to me wanted me to pull over. He was motioning to me. He almost kind of pulled into me, but he couldn't pull over, and I couldn't pull over. So this has been mentioned before. I don't want to belabor the point, but I do think that safety is a real concern, and I think that some other time a good decision about what to do with that land could be made. But right now, I would like to encourage you to not change the zoning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your time that you spend on this.
Thank you for your patience. Okay, who's next? Let's go over here, this side. Well, there's nobody on that side. Oh, there's one right here. Okay. All right, so you in the green shirt, you'll be next. Or whoever was over here that had their hand in the air.
Chairman, committee. My name is Nadine Wick, and I live at 124 Madison Avenue in Lewis, and I'm going to be very short. All I want to do is introduce a petition with 1,200 signatures from people who live in Lewis, but also in the surrounding area, mm-hmm. And that's it. I just
okay.
want to introduce it to
you. If you would hand them up to Mr. Lank or council, either one. Okay, over here.
Tom Panetta from 125 Washington Avenue, Lewis. I've already submitted a letter, so I'm going to try to keep this brief.
Okay.
First thing I do want to thank everyone on planning and zoning. I know you guys have a terribly hard job, and you've taken on hard tasks before, and I know you've gotten overruled on many of the issues. So I really do thank you for your efforts.
You win some, you lose some.
Well, okay. We hear a lot about property rights in Sussex County. We're relative newcomers to the area. We moved here 2 years ago. And I think people get very confused about property rights. No one is trying to take away landowners' rights to develop their property. The Lingo Townsend group has the complete right to develop the property within the AR1 zoning. They are looking to maximize profits. There's a big difference between that. And I think that needs to be kept in perspective. We've also heard tonight about, you know, this orphan farmland. Well, how did it become orphan farmland? It became orphan farmland because they took the rest of the farmland and developed it. So they created their own hardship from that perspective. There's other developments going around the outside of it, but, you know, I guess the point is that they've done a lot of development with their own land in the area, and now they're doing it piecemeal. Mm-hmm. One of the things we heard tonight about was the potential for potentially a YMCA. I guess that's supposed to be a sweetener to make it, you know, show benefit to the community, to offset the impact. I guess 2 points on that. It's great. A Y would be fantastic. However, it has a traffic impact. It has a traffic impact probably as large as a retail shopping center. So I'm not sure whether that's quite the appropriate use for the area there. I know you don't want to repeat, but the one thing I'll make...
Oh, go ahead. It's so late now, I don't care.
It's one quick sentence.
I'm hoping we make it till 12 o'clock. It might be a record.
I know the last one went long. Once the property's rezoned to CR1, none of us have control over it. Whatever their pretty pictures show now, we're going to be left down the line with whatever CR1 allows to be built on that. Do we really want to turn our coastal communities into everywhere USA? Do we want all of our roads to look like Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, where every road is lined with shopping centers? And that's what's happening down here. We lost control over Route 1. It's too late for that. But do we really want to extend that onto the remaining roads in the area? And it's not just King's Highway. It's the remaining roads around here. I think we need to have more smart development, retail combined with residential. I'm a nuclear engineer. I've been building nuclear power plants for 30 years. One of the things you learned early on here and overseas.
Okay. We aren't doing much nuclear here, are we?
Well, we do a lot of maintenance and retrofit.
Okay.
You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean that it's necessarily wise to do it. And I think this is a perfect example of that. Yes, you can build a shopping center there. You probably can mitigate the water. You probably can mitigate the traffic. You probably can mitigate all the other issues. But when there is another area to do it, Route 1, Route 9, which has got the infrastructure there or is going to need the infrastructure, why not do it there? Why take an area that's going to require more mitigation and require more infrastructure development than to concentrate it where, as been pointed out, the comprehensive plan shows it should be built? So I guess the closing, I say now's the time to protect that area. Once you change the zoning, we've lost control over it. Whatever happens there will happen there, and it will not be to the benefit of Lewis. Thank you.
All right, sir.
What's your last name, sir?
Panetta.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? All right, sir.
Good evening. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity. My name is David Herbert. I'm a resident of Sussex County. I live on Tarpon Drive, and I have to leave my home, drive on Gills Neck Road out to King's Highway and Route 1 and thereabouts. I'd like to mention that I've been involved with safety, health, and environmental stuff for about 30 years. I'm a certified safety professional. I've also been involved with supporting groups like yours for about 20 years. Involved with traffic, public safety issues. I'm also on the Quality and Safety Committee of BB Medical Center. Now, I don't speak for BB, but I'd like to mention one or two things about that. Okay. With that background, my particular point of view is this proposal, which I would ask you not to support, really does threaten the safety, health, environment, and well-being of the community, including myself. I'm concerned about, and from the information that I have, which is certainly not all of it, I don't think enough energy has been put into defining the impact on the water availability. I get my water to my home from those well heads that get recharged. Right? I don't think we have enough information on the pollution impact. I'm certain that the traffic situation, which is already unacceptable. I hope that you folks travel those roads and see when a ferry or the high school lets out, the traffic is already backed up, as that video has shown. And there really is no way that's going to be ameliorated because of the intersection of Kings Highway and Route 1. There's lots of times when Route 1 is so backed up, you can't make a turn onto it. So this is certainly will significantly negatively impact the public safety around Kings Highway. And that's not just vehicular safety. It is also, as has been pointed out, school children safety, pedestrian safety, bicyclist safety. There delightfully are more and more bicyclists and joggers using the area, and they are increasingly at risk. This has been said earlier, too, but I want to reemphasize, because I've seen it so many times, the traffic conditions are already so bad, and the service levels are so bad, that it induces people to take imprudent risks. Coming out of Clay Road, right? People don't wait for a clear opportunity, but cut in front of cars. at any rate, I want to mention just about BB. While I don't speak for BB, I am on their committee, and I can tell you that there's a lot of emergency vehicle traffic on Kings Highway. I can also tell you that there are many times when it's important that the physicians get to the hospital within very short periods of time, and the conditions on Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway are very important in that. Thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to leave a brief note with someone.
Four. Okay.
Part of the record.
Thanks. Okay, who's next? Good grief. No one else wishes to speak. Okay, sure. Mr. Glowiak.
I did get a letter from somebody had to leave.
Okay.
I read it.
Okay.
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Henry Gloriak. I'm a board member of the Citizens Coalition. I live near Lewis. I just want to speak very briefly. I know it's late, everybody wants to go home. But I want to speak briefly on the traffic impact. Okay. First of all, I have to thank Senator Gary Simpson on speaking on behalf of his constituents as a public servant, and also I must remind you that you're public servants also, and we are also your constituents.
You're reminding us of that because you think we're somehow being derelict in our duty, or there's something just not quite.
No, I'm just being well. Objectivity sentence. That's all.
Okay, go ahead.
That's all. Just
go
being
ahead.
A little objective.
Go ahead.
I kind of didn't appreciate, and there was a little bit of hostility to what Senator Simpson said about the road network. One tactic that the developers use, and they've been using it for quite a long time, is that whenever they put a development in, that they're going to do all the road improvements. Okay? That's a temporary thing. Is there anything in writing where they say they're going to keep the road up in perpetuity? No. Eventually, the taxpayers of the state of Delaware are going to pick up the bill for repaving, resurfacing, and maintaining all the expanded roads that every development causes. I don't think there's anything written in public policy that says that they're going to keep the roads up in perpetuity. Another thing is, every development that is approved, I'm not just talking about the one where that the applicant has proposed tonight, but every development that is approved affects not just the section of the road that the developer will improve, widen shoulders, what have you. It affects the entire traffic network for miles around. And that effect just doesn't affect the local residents of Sussex County. It affects every single taxpayer in the state of Delaware, from Newcastle County on down to Fenwick Island. Every taxpayer will foot the bill for it. You have to take that into consideration.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, who's next? Mr. Anthony. Where have you been? It's been a while since we've seen you.
My name is Richard Anthony. I'm a resident of Lewis. I live at 122A New Road. I'd like to thank you. I hadn't intended to speak, but Tyler sort of got my juices flowing.
That's probably the first time that's happened.
In a long while. I think we need to get back to what the 600-pound gorilla in the room really is, and it's not a 300,000-square-foot shopping center. It's the rezoning. We heard a lot about sufficient evidence, substantial evidence. What you've been given is evidence on a 350,000+ square foot center that may or may not be built there, that may or may not be the most invasive use of the property, and what certainly doesn't represent build out of the property by any means. There are some things under conditional uses that would be far more damning than a shopping center. A casino, for instance.
But they're not asking for a conditional use, they're asking for a change of zone.
No. Once they get the CR1, mm-hmm. You can go for a conditional use.
They can go for conditional use now.
Sure. Actually, but it's a lot easier once it is CR1. Mm. The zoning is already in place. The bar for conditional use and the bar for rezoning are not quite as difficult.
Mm. Okay. That's your testimony.
That's all.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's the use. It's not the use, it's the zoning.
Okay.
In this respect, the use is partial. Mm-hmm. The question is whether that constitutes substantial evidence of probative value.
Right. Okay.
I feel it's an inadequate package that you've been presented with. I'd like to thank you. You gentlemen have already proven you have the patience of Job. Now you're going to need the wisdom of Solomon.
So all of you. You've all hung in here with us. So, okay, thank you. Who's next? Well,
Mr. Chairman, I have a letter.
Actually, we're not done, because you might recall that Mr. Johnson postponed his questioning period until after all of you spoke. So we're not finished, but go ahead. Mr. Lank, you've got some more information for us?
One of the members of the audience did pass up a letter. It's from Sandra Pauline from the Stepping Stone in Lewis. As a resident, small business owner in the historic district of Lewis, I am writing in strong opposition to the application of LT Associates to amend a comprehensive zoning map. If endorsed, this request would significantly and negatively impact Road 268 Kings Highway, and thereby the flow of traffic into and out of historic Lewis, and the very nature of the vibrant and attractive downtown that is a major draw to visitors to our community. those residents, as business owners and city management have worked tirelessly to maintain the environment that nourishes the historic nature of our town and enhances the quality of life that brought most of us to Lewis. Lewis is a recognized and preferred destination for those seeking. This needs to be encouraged and protected, not buried under uncontrolled growth. An applicant must show a benefit to the surrounding community to be granted rezoning. As a resident and merchant of Lewis, this will only degrade my quality of life and destroy the business environment that I work daily to sustain and enhance. I request that this application by LT Associates LLC be denied. And that is a part of the record.
All right, sir. Okay, gentlemen. Time for questions. Mr. Johnson, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the commission's benefit as well as the audience, one of the reasons that I delayed my questions till the end is that I'm notorious for my sticky notes, as Mr. Schrader well knows. And back when this came to us last year, I think I had 13 sticky notes of questions and concerns. Tonight I counted 47 in this book. And fortunately, a lot of them have already been addressed, so I'm not going to be redundant on that. But there are some areas that I do have some questions that I need clarification. And some will be comments, Mr. Schrader. But starting out with, based on the amount of acreage that you have, what could be the actual build-out on that parcel? Not what's being proposed, but what could actually happen?
As an AR, you mean?
No, as a CR1.
CR1?
Where are you? I don't think we actually have a calculated number for that. And we were talking about that when a question came up from a comment from one of the opposition. One, you have to know what the use is. Two, you have to be able to calculate the parking, and the parking becomes the limiting factor. And you can only expand so far before parking contracts you back in. And we talked about how that would be calculated, but we don't have the calculation.
Because I know one of the concerns that have been raised is what could actually happen on this parcel, not just what was presented tonight. So are we talking theoretically 320,000? Are we talking 400,000, 500,000?
Well, I'm going to answer that question by not answering it the way you would like me to. But this issue has been raised periodically tonight, and that is, once this thing is zoned CR1, it's out of your control. Assume for a moment, hypothetically, that it is zoned CR1. Not a one of us is going to come back in here and tell you that we need 500,000 square feet of shopping, because the first thing you're going to do is cut it back to 320,000 square feet based upon what you've heard tonight. I've had this discussion with the council before, and I probably have had it here before. We would be fools to ever come back in here on a bait and switch.
Yes, you would.
And that's what Mr. Sergeyevich has implied. Mr. Sergeyevich, when he was doing this, maybe he would have done it, but I won't.
There you go.
Thank you for not giving me an answer that I was asking for, but that's okay. Moving along.
But I wasn't redundant.
But we're not.
It's true. You didn't repeat yourself.
I know we've had a number of subdivisions that have been approved on Gill's Neck Road, and unfortunately may lose its scenic byway designation. Because this is a comment, not a question. But I, as you may remember from last year, I went back and I counted the number of approved homes starting back with Wolf Run to Kings Highway, which represents 1.3 miles, and the number of housing units came out to one housing unit per 4.5 linear feet on Gill's Neck Road. And then if you extrapolate that to two cars per housing unit, then that's an awful lot of cars. So if this application is not approved, what requirements are there? Because I know you were involved with senators and governors and maybe some of the others. What improvements are likely to be made to Gill's Neck Road and the intersection of Gill's Neck and Kings Highway as part of those
approval processes.
Okay, well, there were improvements that were required as a part of the DLDOT review of, and I want to go back and say that we spoke of, when you did that calculation 2 years ago, roughly 2 years ago, it was Wolf Run, Wolf Point, Hawk's Eye, Hawk's Nest, Cadbury, Breakwater. I mean, there's a whole slew of them. And there, my recollection right off the top of my head was that there are the curve improvements that need to be made. And maybe Derek remembers better than I do. There are the curve improvements. What else were there?
The curve improvements are tied to phase two of Senators.
Yeah, but there weren't any, I don't think there were any improvements tied to, those projects weren't tied to improvements at the intersection of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road.
There were bike lanes on both sides.
Yeah, there were the bike lanes because of the bike path.
There were bike lanes on both sides and widening
the road. So one of the issues that was raised by my fellow commissioner, Mr. Ross, was that, you know, how would these road improvements be made to, you know, the existing problems that we have now, let alone what will happen at full build-out with those various projects?
Well, and the question is, and it was then, is that each of the various developments will contribute proportionally to those portions of the DLDOT required improvements for Gills Neck Road and or any of the other roads that are involved in this. And there is a proportioning that is currently underway that is about to be signed.
And again, I'm trying to be as brief as I can without shortchanging myself. We talked about some of the land being in level two, some of it's in level three. Would it be safe to say that about 5% of the project is in level two?
It's a small percentage.
And I know earlier, Mr. Key, in response to the size of the commercial buildings, made a comment about the school district building being so large. I would like to point out for the record that the school district is sitting on 86.4 acres versus 45.7, which is being proposed tonight. So the size of the high school doesn't concern me from the perspective of the amount of space that's there versus the amount that's in this project. Just a comment.
We acknowledge your comment.
And how and when would, if this project was approved, how and when would any improvements be made to the roadways?
How and when? Well, it would be in connection with the construction of the entrances. There are dedication of right-of-ways that have to take place, signalization. I can't tell you what the precise construction schedule is, but at the time that the entrance work begins, I'm going to have to start doing the rest of the work.
So would the obviously the entrances have to be built before it's you get your CO, but what about the traffic signal there at Kings Highway and Gills Neck, as well as the traffic signal at Clay Road?
Frank, do you recall that being defined in the agreement? I don't remember that the scheduling was precise as to when those would take place in terms of calendar days and years, but there are certain events that will take place that will trigger the next.
And would all these improvements be done solely at your expense as well as the senators and the governors, or is the state expected to kick in some bucks too?
Well, the agreement that we have been negotiating with DLDOT essentially ties the improvements to trigger points like the first phase of Senators, trigger certain improvements. The intersection at Gills Neck and Kings Highway was tied to either the first phase of the town center or the 112th home, prior to the 112th home in Senators, I believe it was. So essentially it's at the first phases for these big intersection improvements, including like Clay Road and Kings Highway. First phase of the town center would cause that. Same thing with the intersection of the road between the two projects.
Oh, okay.
This road here, and of course that would be first phase as well. So this would go with this project or this project.
So would the state of Delaware be expected to kick in some money for these improvements, or is this solely at the developer's expense?
This is solely at the developer's expense, but for one thing, and that's the traffic signals themselves, because most of the signalization goes in when warrants are met, meaning when traffic demands. That may be right at that first phase, and it might not. So it's up to DLDOT to determine when warrants are met, and then all the underground infrastructure, the engineering and everything would be taken care of by the applicant, and then when it's time for the poles and footings to come in, DLDOT will come put them in.
And what would you estimate the state's expense would have to be on something like that?
I believe we estimated about $800,000.
And you made reference earlier about the $8.5 million that would be done as part of your contribution to this. How much of that is associated with the senators and governors versus just this project that we're looking at tonight?
I'm not sure. I didn't divide it up that way.
So the 8.5 is not just solely on the CR1 rezoning piece, but it's on the overall plan of the other subdivisions as well as this project.
That's correct. A large majority of the right-of-way dedication that's in the $5 million number occurs on property that has nothing to do with LT Associates or anything else. It's on the Jones property on Clay Road on both sides of it, and the applicant has just determined that that's the right thing to do, so they're planning to dedicate right-of-way there.
Right-of-way along Clay Road?
Yes. Then on King's Highway, along the entire frontage of the whole original 68-acre parcel from the creek all the way to Gills Neck Road, is another 30-foot-wide dedication all the way to the light, and then turning up Gills Neck the same way. So a lot of this is directly associated with the shopping center. Some of it is just because it's the right thing to do, and some of it is associated with, like, Gills Neck frontage. It's shopping center, then it becomes Senators.
As a former frequent traveler on Clay Road, I avoid it now like the plague, but what percentage would you say of Clay Road from King's Highway to Westcote Corner is going to be improved as part of this?
Simply the intersection.
Just the intersection.
Yeah, but there'll be...
So the rest of the road that's has the big ditches and it's hard to bypass someone that's going to have all this additional traffic coming from the shopping center is not likely to have much benefit from it.
Now, to be more specific, those intersection improvements go back quite a ways on Clay Road, but no, it's not the whole road.
And you've made references to, both attorneys have made references to different sections of the code, and one of the section that I saw was section, you might want to write this down, 115-83.3 subsection A, which says that large-scale uses requires that adequate infrastructure, and I quote, shall be completed prior to issuance of certificate of occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that all these road improvements and all that are going to be completed before you get your CO if the change of zone was approved and if this property was developed?
We think so. Now, not all of those infrastructure, again, back to the roads for a minute, those things are going to be sequenced by DLDOT. The infrastructure that we will be placing on site obviously will be. That would be stormwater, water, all the utilities, wastewater. And I'm always going to take an exception to DLDOT because DLDOT is its own universe.
And another point I'd like to point out or comment, I think both sides have been talking about the comprehensive plan update, and I'd like to refer to section 10-7 under intergovernmental coordination strategies, where you know, there's a discussion of need for regional planning and coordination with other government organizations. And while the county does have control over land use planning in the county area, I have to concur with our comprehensive plan update that says that there is a great need for intergovernmental coordination. So I don't view this as the city of Lewis versus, you know, Sussex County, because what impacts the city impacts the county and vice versa. So we don't operate in a vacuum. So just for record, at least from this commissioner's viewpoint, I think the intergovernmental coordination is critical.
Well, I represent a couple small towns, Mr. Johnson, as you know, and I think Mayor Ford probably will recall this, but right after the 08 plan was approved, there were intergovernmental coordination agreements that were sent to all the towns, and it basically was for purposes of notice, comment, review of pending zoning applications. I think the big tug of war that develops is that between, and I have a town that, like Lewis, jealously guards its own autonomy, the big tug of war becomes what weight do you give to the comments that a town has? Are they capable of having veto power, or do you give them no credence at all? And there's always been that dynamic. And in I first started working for the county in 1972. It was a problem then, and it's still a problem today, and I don't think you're ever going to see that go away. Perhaps it's resolved at some point, or at least there's civility between the two, but there will always be that tug of war.
And finally, are there any commercial areas that are of similar size that are located on Kings Highway from Dartmouth Road to Freeman Highway?
That I'm aware of.
So it's safe to say that the other commercial uses in the area are limited in size and impact.
Yes, I'm not sure how large the doctor's office complex is there, but I doubt it's this big. No.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'm done.
All right. Well, let's check with everybody else. Mr. Burton, do you have any questions?
Mike did a very good job asking the questions I have. I do want to get back to the Gills Neck Road deal with the senators and the governors and all of that deal. And in this synopsis here, it says that DLDOT improvements are currently being negotiated based on the January 15th, 2008 letter with governors. So the tie-in between all the developments and this proposed commercial center is the entire road improvements are staged, or how does this traffic get handled on Gills Neck Road pending all these merging at one time?
And understand that the agreement that's referred to in that comment is an agreement between LTA and DLDOT. It does not represent an agreement between LTA, Cadbury, Breakwater, or other projects under the controls of others. DLDOT, though, is always the contracting party, and the contract is based upon the proportionate shares that would be appropriate for the LT group to pay for as their shares of the total.
But at no time is that agreement written down that it's going to happen when this occurs and that occurs and this occurs and that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is. We have been negotiating that agreement, and we've come to terms over it. It's a question now of simple approval. It's at Carol Ann Wick's office as we speak, and it outlines what improvements will be made, tied to when they'll be made. In other words, those trigger points of first phases and so forth. And that's essentially from the entrance at Hawkseye all the way out to Kings Highway along Gills Neck Road, the intersection there at the high school, down Kings Highway, the intersection at Clay Road, the roads inside the development, and so forth.
Okay. There was mention about a turnabout on Clay at Aura Light. What is it? Mr. Aldred mentioned a turnaround, and I think you mentioned it.
About a roundabout at Dartmouth?
Yeah.
There will be a roundabout there.
It's what DLDOT wants.
DLDOT wants the roundabout, but These projects don't have anything to do with that. They want that roundabout as a result of current and future background traffic, as they put it. So what they were concerned about was the Dartmouth Route 1 intersection and having that third left turn lane. Okay. The proportionate share of LT Associates was about just under $10,000 as a contribution to that intersection.
Roundabout.
Okay. Yeah, and that's DelDOT's calculation. They're contributing $50,000.
Recognize that this is not a site plan approval, but where do you think the phasing would be? You think it would be the stores in the back, stores in the front? How do you think this would go?
Likely it would be the stores in the back, one or both of them, simply because they're called anchor stores because they anchor the others. So I would imagine it would be back there. Now, that depends on the market and the tenants. And
no further questions.
All right, sir.
Mr. Smith.
No, sir.
Mr. Ross.
Just to the safety issues brought up by the parents from Cape Henlopen, I mean, how are you going to deal with the students? They're going to walk over, right? I mean, is that addressed in your DelDOT?
Yes, they're fully signalized intersections with crosswalks and push-button signals for pedestrians. I don't know how we can make it any safer than what DelDOT requires for those kind of fully signalized intersections.
I mean, obviously the school zone's 20, 25 or something. Are there rumble strips or anything else that can be done to wake people up and say, hey, you know, pay attention, or is that out of the question? Or
I don't think it's out of the question. It hasn't come up in the discussions with them, but certainly could be.
I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern, and I think the ambulance situation is a legitimate concern, and I don't know what can be done to make sure that there's extra shoulder width for people to pull over or ambulances to get by frozen traffic or what. I mean, these are serious issues. And
Mr. Ross, where that's concerned, we're adding, we're widening lanes on Gill's Neck, widening lanes to some extent on King's Highway, and adding shoulders. So some of that will be taken care of as a part of this.
Anything else? Okay, Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Oh, there he is. He's still here. Mr. Abbott?
No questions. Council? I do have one question. I want to follow up on something that Mr. Servig asked. He raised some procedural questions that I agree are more appropriate for the county council level, but he did ask one about 115.83.3. I thought it was maybe what Mike was going to get to, but it wasn't. He talked about the requirement or the statement in there that large-scale uses, which you know the definition of, have to be, or shall be, I'll quote it, shall be adjacent to a major arterial roadway as defined in Section 99-5 of the subdivision ordinance, et cetera. And I just wondered if you had a response to that, because that was the first time we heard that argument raised.
Which part do you want me to discuss?
Well, the argument that he made. That
This is also the first time I heard that argument, so I'm not fully prepared. The one thing that I was fascinated about was his definition of U.S. Route 9. So that designation is made by the Federal Department of Transportation. And so it is, and in fact, through Mr. Linhart's presentation, you could see in the background the little shield with 9 on it all through the whole thing. And I'm not sure, but I don't think Savannah Road is known as U.S. Route 9. It may be that there are two major arterial highways. I don't know. That's going to have to be decided by the county council. But at least for the moment, when that ordinance was written in 1990, 2003 or 4, U.S. Route 9 was intended to be the major arterial highway.
But you'll have to address that at county council.
Well, it's an
argument that was raised, so.
I mean, there were a number of arguments that were raised by Mr. Sergovic, and as was pointed out by he and his, the people who were with him, you know, they were complaining that they only had 10 days to look at stuff. Well, we've only had a couple hours, so I can't say that I'm prepared to argue.
Well, and I asked the question because that was one that I wasn't anticipating either, so. Well, thank you. That's the only question I had.
Mr. Chairman, if I may follow up.
Sure, follow up, yeah.
Because it's my recollection that Kings Highway Route 9 was determined to be a major arterial road due to the Cape May-Lewis Ferry and the provision of transit traffic through that. That if you look at the grand scheme of things, Route 9 goes out into Delaware Bay probably and goes over to Cape May, New Jersey, and that short span of road is by no means a long arterial road that's going anywhere other than taking folks to the ferry and, you know, to the state park. So rather than a transition from one town to another, as Route 9 goes from 5 points where I think we can all agree from 5 points to Georgetown is Route 9. Whether it goes into Savannah Road or Kings Highway, to me is another issue. But when I view an arterial road or a major road, I see that only as being designated one due to the through traffic that goes to Cape May-Lewis Ferry, not because it's going to a town designation.
Well, but the point is that, and this is what I was wondering if Mr. Schrader had a response to, is that it actually refers to Section 99-5 of the subdivision ordinance, which actually spells out what are considered arterial roadways for purposes of 83.3. I realize that there's other definitions of arterial roadways, you know, in the comp plan and elsewhere, but that specific code section refers back to another one that actually lists them.
Let me supplement the response, because Mr. Lank and I wrote that ordinance, the 99-5, back in 1994, but I can't, to be honest with you, I can't recall why we were given the direction to include that as a major arterial roadway. And I'm not sure that Mr. Lank recalls, but...
No, it is. That's a lot of years. But it's based on information that was provided to us by Delta. And that we do have a problem over the years with name changes. They change the title of the roads, and we've had to amend the ordinance at least once just to change what they've renamed the system under the functional classification maps.
And I'm not suggesting that that's the only interpretation of that either. I wanted to hear Mr. Schrader's response, because, as I said, there are definitions elsewhere of arterial roadways. So.
Well, and there are, not conflicting, but there are different titles, as Mr. Lank points out, and sometimes it does become confusing. But at least for the purposes of our ordinance, it sends you back to 99.5.
Mm-hmm. That's all the questions I had.
That is?
Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for a few minutes to see if we make a decision. Before you make all the office in the morning,